Hello, everybody. It is time for our chill Friday evening Q&A hangout. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can take an art class, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof: critiques, tutorials, workshops, and professional development. Tell me in the chat how your week has been, artistically or otherwise, and tell me what you're working on because I was very proud of myself that I spent the last 2 days finally editing the video for this painting that I did on site at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. And this footage has been sitting here for 6 months because I consider these types of videos to be my artistic luxury. So tell me in the chat, what is your artistic luxury? The thing that you know is probably not going to be super popular. It's probably not going to make you any money. In fact, it will take time away from things where you actually do make money. It's sort of a labor of love. There's no rationale behind it, other than it's this creative experience you want to give yourself. And for me, that's what that tutorial was, because I was editing that video. It's about 11 minutes. And I purposefully edited it in a very slow pace, because a lot of our videos are not like that. We don't have long pauses in between speaking. And I just thought this feels so good to edit a video that has such a slow pace that's probably not going to be popular with a lot of people, but that I really enjoy making. Because as much as shorts are really fun and you get the sense of something really quickly and under a minute, there's also something really nice about work that is just there because you want it to be, and it has no other purpose other than that. So we've got some really fun projects. Willish doing some fan art, and 7A, same thing. Lisa is drawing hands and feet in advance of next week's class. And by the way, we do have, I believe, one spot left in the Drawing Hands and Feet workshop. This is Saturday, April 20th. So if you want to be in that workshop, you better sign up because that one spot is not going to last very long. And if you missed it, we also have space in our Imaginary Landscapes workshop coming up soon. And we are also doing registration for our May and June workshops: flowers, pen and ink, printmaking, acrylic painting, landscapes and water, collage, and mixed media. A bunch of those are topics that I've never done before, and I'm always excited to have that new opportunity. Susan says, "My luxury is portraits of famous persons I love or admire. They would not sell well, but I love them." I think that's really important for us to do. Work whose only role in our lives is to just satisfy us artistically, because especially if you're working professionally as an artist, there is a lot of that where you sort of question, well, is this worth my time? Is this going to get me some place different that I've been trying to get to? Is it going to help me fulfill my goals? And it's just so wonderful when you make something and there is no goal. It's just pure enjoyment of the pieces. Alexandria says all of their creative pursuits. And Lisa seems to like drawing depressed faces. Me too. And Manette says, "Anything I make for myself is an artistic luxury. So that's really anything I make in order to try to process different things in my life." I love that description, Manette, that art serves so many different roles for people in their various lives. Josh says comic, graphic novel. Fantastic. I love that you're all doing all of these different projects, and that's one of my favorite things about this community. So PM is asking where to sign up for the workshop. So you want to go down to the YouTube video description below, and there is a link under workshops, or go to the front page of artprof.org. There's a link for all the workshops on that front page. AA says, my luxury is making horrible sketches in my sketchbook that no one will see. I can mess up all I want. I think that's very important. We need to have that sandbox artistically where we can just mess up like crazy and not care. That's a very important part of your practice. So if anybody's questioning whether that is worth your time, I'm going to validate that for you right now. Carolyn says, painting eclipse painting using white ink on black paper. Hey, who saw the eclipse? I was on a plane, and so I didn't get to see it, but I know a lot of people did it. Yes, I'm extremely jealous. I saw the annular eclipse. I think that was a couple months ago. We saw it in southern Utah. We got great views of it out there because there's just not a lot of stuff out in southern Utah. But yeah, tell me your eclipse story if you have one. And by the way, this is your opportunity to pick my brain because, as much as I believe in structure and giving people things in formats that are organized, I do think a lot of being an artist is these off-the-cuff questions. And they're so specific. Oftentimes, I put out content and I just don't realize that I'm missing a lot of finer points to what I'm talking about. So, to me, these Q&As are very important. So that way, you can bring to me the things that I didn't think about, which is like almost everything. And PM says, I'm about to indulge my luxury. I'm going to try oils. Well, you're going to need help with that. So I would definitely go to our website and type oil painting into the search bar because, oh, I love oil painting. But guess what? It's a lot of setup. And there's some things you need to know about safety. And there's a couple supplies that will make your life so much easier if you know about them. And Edie says, saw the eclipse. It was 90% covered in New York. Got darker, but not really dark. It was quite an experience. Very cool. Brandon says, my luxury is going back and doing art tutorials that used to be really hard for me to do. It's a nice reminder of how much I've improved. Oh, that's such a great idea, Brandon. I never even thought about that. I guess because I grew up without YouTube, we didn't have the option. I mean, even we were watching Bob Ross, and if you missed an episode, you missed it. It was gone forever until they started doing reruns. And so, yes, kids, you guys live in a very privileged digital world that I missed out on. Emmett says, I just got commissioned for making album cover art. Oh, that's fantastic. Actually, older folks, do you remember what a big deal album art was many decades ago? I'm not saying it's not a thing now, because obviously album art is part of it, but I think part of it had to do with the fact that records were just so big. I mean, now you see a little square on Spotify. Sometimes you never get to see it bigger than that. And when you have a piece of artwork that's that large physically, I just think it has a greater impact. And that's all we were looking at. We had no internet to satisfy all of our musical desires. And there really is some brilliant album art out there. Does anybody have any favorites? I mean, for me, the favorite one was Revolver by the Beatles, because there's just so many funny little drawings in the middle. And it just was a strange composition with very thin lines in some of the hair, but there's also some photographs mixed in. It's a really brilliant cover, in my opinion. Amanda just got some cold wax medium I'm going to try for the first time. Tips and comments on that are welcome. Okay, tell me in the chat, what's your last art supply purchase? Now, I don't know that this counts. All I know is that this is brand new art supplies, and that's all I care about. And actually, this is going to be on the stream on Sunday. I'm going to be testing out these golden open acrylics for the first time. Who here has used these before? Because, and by the way, thank you, Slate, so much for sending this to me. And also, I have these mediums as well. So this one is open acrylic medium matte, and this one is open thinner. I don't even know. Slow drying thinner. Okay. So I'm going to try all of those and the golden open acrylics. And tell me if you agree. I feel like this is not very good packaging because all the tubes are black. Like, I don't know which color is which. Like, there's a tiny little swatch, but I just feel like this is making it very hard for me to identify all the colors. So this wasn't really a purchase because somebody sent it to me, but it is a brand new art supply, which I always appreciate. And we also have Edie talking about the album art. I always thought that music companies used in-house artists for their cover art. Well, I can't speak to the 70s and 80s. I really don't know about how it was back then, but typically work like that is done on a freelance basis most of the time. Occasionally, you might have a publisher or something that has an in-house graphic designer, but usually, when it's art like that, illustrations, covers, it's almost always freelance. And yes, I know my webcam is not great right now. It just needs time to settle in. It's been a little finicky recently. Amaris says, just finished making reference photo collage for my partner. Getting ready to start making my custom crayon painting book for him as a Christmas gift. I'm so excited. Oh, that's going to be really fun. I feel like collage is one of those things I just have not really touched very much, but sounds really fun. I mean, I'm always seeing Lauren doing it all the time with visual journaling, and I just haven't gotten to go there. Naughty says album cover still a big thing, but mostly for heavy music or what I have got across of. I think it is hard to track because there's just so many places people get their music, and it's doesn't have that, I guess, larger overview. I mean, I just feel like compared to what people have now, we were listening to like three artists because we just didn't have the visibility for a lot of artists. I mean, you really had to be part of a major record company. And now people are making stuff in their bedrooms, which, you know, good for them. Jeez, my webcam really does not like me today. Sorry, you guys know what I look like. It's not that exciting. Marsha says, soft oil pastels. Yum. And we also have 7A. Thank you for the contribution. Golden open acrylics are great for blending, work for jelly plate printing. What? You're telling me another thing I need to do, 7A? Oh, but it sounds perfect because actually, when I've done transfers with jelly plates and acrylics, typically what I do is I'll get some retarder because usually it doesn't stay wet long enough. And so that's a really handy thing. Yes, I'm sorry. My webcam really does not like me today. Usually it settles in after a few minutes. Let me see if I can get it to like refocus, but it's not cooperating today. It's okay. You guys know what I look like. And Emmett says, I love golden's viscosity and texture during the painting process. See, I actually have not spent that much time with Golden's acrylic paints. I've used a couple tubes here or there, but I've never actually bought an entire set of golden acrylics. So I'm very curious about these. Okay, PL bought some clear gesso. Levi says, if video tutorials don't count, a sock, loom, and yarn. Fantastic. Oh, good, 7A. I'm glad I wasn't just being whiny. They say, you have no idea how mad the packaging makes me that changed recently. It looks way worse now. Come on, Golden, don't make this harder. I have to say, though, Sennelier, you guys got to get on your graphic design because they had tiny print and it was on dark colors. I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? I cannot read this. And I was annoyed because I'd never used those egg tempers before. Like, I was really hoping there would be technical information on the packaging that I could use, but I literally could not read it. And yes, maybe it's confused. Maybe if I lean back, usually it settles in. Here, look at Aaron Tveit, who, oh, that was it! Carolyn, you fixed it for me. Thank you very much. See, Aaron Tveit, he fixes everything. I just need him. Janet says, I love the golden acrylic paint. I use some open stock and some heavy, whatever it is, the heaviest one. I forget the name. I know there's too many names. I'm still learning on painting, but it seems to be a pretty good quality. I really do believe that paint, it really is you get what you paid for. Usually, if a paint is really inexpensive, there's a very good reason for that. So this is one of those places I really try not to cut corners. I know not everybody can, obviously, but paint and paper in general, I tend to not buy the cheaper versions because I always pay for it in the end. Alexandria says, feeling a bit scattered myself. I have several passion projects in the works. Love being creative though. Oh, I think I like starting projects more than I like finishing them. It did feel really good because, in case you guys missed it, I did manage. I'm just very proud of this today. So I need to show it off again. I finally finished the video for this painting I did on site at the Kennedy Center. And it's just one of those pieces where you just, oh, want to do it, but can't get off your butt. Okay, Naughty says, and by the way, put in your questions. I mean, yes, we can gush about art supplies all day, but I'm sure some of you have something you want to pick my brain about and ask me anything. I generally do not get startled by questions. So I'm always curious to hear what you guys are thinking. And also, so you get a really customized response instead of something that's more generic. Naughty says, got a question on art reading. How exactly postmodern contemporary painting differ from post-contemporary exactly, if you can put some clarity, thank you. I don't quite know exactly what you're referring to because postmodernism, if I remember correctly, that's Cezanne, right? Everybody, somebody look it up. I'm so embarrassed I don't know exactly, but postmodernism is a very particular movement. Contemporary painting, though, would be any painting that's being made right now by a living artist. So I don't really know what post-contemporary means. So if you want to clarify or somebody wants to jump in and help us with the terminology, because it does get very confusing, that would be great. And we can come back to that. Brandon says, I have a question about practice. I often try to do multiple kinds of art studies in a day, like practicing line art and anatomy. On the same day is a good way to practice. Sure. If it's working for you, if you feel engaged and you feel like you are learning something about the process, and note I said process, I'm not saying end results, then that's a good way to practice. Now, that said, though, sometimes it is really important to get feedback because we never really have the ability to self-critique because we are ourselves. It's really hard to do that. And so sometimes when people are wondering, is this effective? Should I be doing something else? The most helpful thing is to get feedback, to have somebody look at it. So we have a lot of different options. For example, we have the public channels in Discord, which are free. We also have our Patreon group, which is $20 a month. And that is where you get very, very long written critiques for me, and also support in a small group of artists. But I would say if you're questioning that, Brandon, come into the Discord and post it for critique, join the Patreon group. And that's usually the only way to truly evaluate that. I mean, unless you're like doing that and are miserable, like, yes, don't do that if you're really having a hard time. Nanette says, when it comes to acrylic paint, is heavy body the best? When I go to the art store, there are the craft paints that are very thin and runny, then all the expensive brands are heavy body. I've never used this before, but I know Golden does make fluid acrylics. And those are runny. Again, I've never used them before, but I do think there's value in acrylics that are different levels of viscosity. So, viscosity, if you don't know what that is, it's how thick or runny something is. So, for example, honey is very thick, and so that's very high viscosity. Something that's very runny, like water, would be low viscosity. But I found there's really a reason to have thin paint because you know something? I don't like painting thick. I'm such a weirdo. And I didn't realize this until a couple years ago. Like I always just sort of assumed, oh, if you paint, you have to paint thick. I know it took me a long time to realize this. And I've had a great time painting with acrylic inks. And those have been a very good compromise for me because they're nice and thin, they're runny. But they also have the beef of acrylic. Like if you use drawing ink, it's not quite the same thing. It's very, very runny. Jinja says, I was just going to sit down and work on the drawing track, but saw you were live. Yes. All right. Question for gesture drawings. This is a good split. How much time to spend on 2 minute versus 5 minute versus 10 minutes? I would say minimum 20 minutes per amount of time. Probably what's better. I mean, it depends on how long you're able to sit and draw. Half an hour is probably better. I know for 2 minute drawings, I'm kind of done after about 30 minutes. 5 minutes, I feel like I could do up to 45. And then 10 minutes, I could probably do an hour. Again, depends on your personal stamina in terms of physically doing them. But I do think that chunk of 20 minutes is very important because the whole point of those 2 minute drawings is to warm up. A lot of people will say to me, oh gosh, I'm so bad at these 2 minute drawings. I don't have any details. I'm like, nobody has details. Even in a 10 minute pose, I'm not really doing details. So the key thing there is to just move your arm, sharpen your eye, because when I sit down to draw, pretty much always the first 20 minutes, I just feel really stiff. I mean, it's like if you're an athlete, if you're going to go play a soccer game, you're not just going to play. You're going to run a couple laps around. And that's really the purpose of the 2 minute poses. Certainly, it's very helpful for just capturing things very quickly. But for me, that is largely the role of those 2 minute drawings. AA says, I would like to do more collage, but I'm unsure how to make it archival. Any suggestions? You would have to make sure that the papers you're using are archival because it depends on the paper, but I'm not sure that magazine pages are necessarily archival. But there's some options. Like I know some people, instead of taking an actual book, I mean, that's a fun exercise too. You just get a used book and you cut it up and do all these things. But I know some people will Xerox some of those images onto archival paper and then print it out on a printer. So that's one way to do that. It's tricky. You have to do your research. I think that's the hardest thing. I would definitely have the backing sheet should probably be pretty substantial. Usually, when people are doing collage, there's an adhesive involved. And so you don't want to have paper that's too thin as the backing sheet. Okay, I'm so confused now. Amanda says postmodernism, I think, is 80s and 90s and beyond. Oh dear, I'm just so confused. Okay, so Nadi says it's a new term, contemporary and post-contemporary. Yeah, I have no idea. Maybe somebody can look it up and help us out. Anna says, what was your favorite part of the printmaking conference? Gosh, that's a tough thing to answer. Honestly, I think a big part of it was being around people who had such specialized knowledge about these very specific, there's a fly there, things, and everybody being so nice and pleasant. I know that sounds terrible, but when you go to a conference like that, it's so nice because you're not working with anybody. I mean, I'm sure if you're staff or whatever you're doing a demo, you're definitely working with people. But if you're just attending the conference, it's just fun. And you talk to people and there's no pressure. And just running into people from all walks of life, seeing people who are my former students, MFA graduates who had been my TAs, and peers and former professors, like, that to me is the most incredible thing is that I've taught long enough now that I've got multiple generations of artists who I know. And first of all, that makes me feel very old. But second of all, it really feels amazing that I'm now sort of in the middle of everybody else. I've got my former professors and I have students who are millennials and they are now totally making their way in the world. And actually, it's funny, I was on a train to Boston and I ran into, totally by accident, one of my former students who I think I had had in, oh dear, probably 2010, a really long time ago. And we were talking about this, how now his generation is pretty solid in the professional world. Like they're not just getting started, like they are deep into their professional lives. And he said, "Wow, Clara, as a teacher, isn't this just perfect? Because you have this vast network of former students who are, for the most part, happy to help you." And I was like, "Yeah," because I actually did an interview with Alex Kiesling. He's a freelance illustrator in New York City. You guys may have seen him on some of our streams, but I did shoot a bunch of shorts with him, and he's doing really well as an illustrator, has done some really high profile projects and gave me so much good professional advice. I was asking him about art directors, about freelance illustration, how I could convey that to people and give them some information about that. And I just thought, you know what? If he wasn't my former student, I wouldn't know who to ask. And so I feel very lucky that I'm plugged into all these people and I can give it to all of you. Because it really is a clubhouse. I mean, that was another thing I noticed too, is that I'm here with all of you from all over the world, which is still blows my mind. Okay. But I kept thinking to myself, if I wasn't in this club of academia, how would I get into this club? And it's very difficult, or it's really expensive. I mean, anybody can go to the conference, but the conference is like $300 just to get in and then got to travel and stuff like that. So yes. And 7A says, I'm so curious how heat sensitive the cold wax is. Says it's made with wax. Like, will heat cause it to distort? If I'm correct, Amanda, I'm pretty sure you bought cold wax medium that's meant to be used with oil paint. There's lots of different types of waxes, but that's the one that I'm familiar with. And it's pretty soft. It's sort of like soft butter. I would guess you don't want to put that to heat if it's for an oil painting. Who knows? Susan says, what do you think of celebrity artists such as Pierce Brosnan or Lucy Liu? You know something? Who was it I read the other day who's an artist? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, it was, I can't remember. But anyway, Deepti actually did a critique recently because Channing Tatum has been doing a lot of artwork. And so we talked about one of his drawings in one of our reels. And it's just the coolest thing. I love it when people pick up art after having careers in other areas. Maybe it was Sharon Stone. I read that she was having some gallery shows, but there was another celebrity, and it was such a cool celebrity. It wasn't Benedict, sorry. I think it's great. I do think that every person does it differently. I mean, some people, they're just doing it to relax. And I think there's probably a large part of our audience that does that as well. And art plays a very different role in people's lives. You know, some people, maybe it was Sharon Stone, yeah, who's actually like doing a lot of gallery stuff. But there are some artists who don't do any of that and they're just making their work. And I think that's fantastic. Brandon's asking, is there a limit on the amount of questions you can ask on a stream? Just want to make sure I'm not being annoying. Well, that's very polite of you. We don't have a limit, but you guys will probably notice that I do try to get questions from different people. So if I see a question from somebody I haven't addressed yet, I'll do that over somebody who has already asked a question. So I'm not ignoring you. I'm just trying to make sure that everybody gets a chance to have their question answered. Alexandria says, in a recent chat, you mentioned that when an artist says they don't like a piece they created, then you suggest maybe they actually stopped before it was done. Resonates with me. I used to give up. Yeah, who here thinks in the past they have given up too fast? Yep. It's so common. And so people will say to me, sort of finalized judgment, I failed, or that painting is bad. And I think a better way to think about it is it's still in progress because there's a lot of pieces that look really, really bad for a long time that I've done that I could have rendered judgment on, but I don't. I say it's in progress. So if you think about it that way, it doesn't feel as finalized because there's no deadline there for when a piece is done. I mean, it's not like you have a finish line and a marathon and oh, you just chose to not run across the finish. No, it's like you're getting there, okay? You're just not there right now, but you keep going and eventually something will happen. Jess is asking, what art and creativity education books do you recommend? For example, The Artist's Way is popular. Also, what art practice helps you harness your creativity? Actually, a book that I really did like, which is not for visual artists, it's called The Creative Habit, and it's by Twyla Tharp. And I read that book a really long time ago, so I actually don't really remember a lot about it. But I found it really refreshing to read a book by somebody who was not a visual artist. She's a choreographer, if you guys don't know who Twyla Tharp is. And to be honest, I find a lot of the books that are written for visual artists not as interesting. I know I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying that, but maybe it's just the novelty of hearing about another field. For example, I really like reading medical books. Did you guys know that? Not like textbooks, but I really like Atul Gawande, who's written some brilliant books about his practice. And I just find that those feel a little bit more fresh to me because they're just not as familiar. So anytime I can read something that's sort of outside of visual arts, I do try to do that. I haven't really looked at The Artist's Way very much. I just feel like it had so many things to do, which sort of, for me, stressed me out. Again, that's me. I know some people really love that book. And have you ever drawn a character from Blue Archive? I don't even know what that is. Sorry. But the answer is no, I have not. And I don't know how to pronounce your name. I'm so sorry, Luke. I've been looking at your videos for a while. Helped me loads on my portfolio that I was building last year when I went to Paris to learn more about art. And now I'm in a fine art school. Congratulations. That's actually what the conference was like. I ran into so many people who came up to me and said, Clara, I got into grad school. And these are people I'd never met before. And they're like, because I watched your videos and I learned so much from your site and I'm so grateful. I was like, wow. I mean, I had people who had just been hired, just started teaching in academia, and told me that they used our videos to help them start teaching. Because when you're a teacher, the learning just never stops. You're always picking up new things here or there. And Loke is asking, what's your opinion? What's the difference between etching on zinc or copper, direct transfer or indirect? Not sure what you mean by direct transfer, indirect. If you want to follow up, I can answer that. But the real difference with etching on zinc versus copper is the acid is different. So if you want to etch a copper plate, you use ferric chloride. And ferric chloride is much safer than nitric. Nitric acid is what you would use to etch on zinc. I do like copper better, though. Copper is a little bit sturdier. And I do feel like, I don't know if this is actually true, but for me, copper feels a little softer. So I feel like if I want to go in and add a little bit of dry point, I feel like it's a little bit easier. And I do that a lot. Like if I am doing an etching, it's pretty common for me to go in and just do little touches with dry point, because if you just need to add a couple lines, it's actually so much faster to just do a little bit of dry point, because otherwise you got to like go through the whole acid thing many times. And sorry, you guys. Why does everybody keep suggesting Henry Cavill? He's not that great. He's fine. There's nothing wrong with him, but no. And Lisa says, I notice creative people often dabble in multiple areas. I suspect the creativity cross-pollinates. I think for me, it's also about shaking up what I'm used to, because there are so many things that cross over into other fields. I mean, you would never think that an artist would have anything in common with a medical doctor. But when I was reading those medical books, I was like, oh my gosh, exactly. Similar concept, very different in performance and execution, but fundamentally a similar idea. And I just can't be an artist all the time. Like, I just want to do something else. I mean, some of you may know that I played classical music for many, many years in orchestras. And I liked that because it was a place where there was such a thing as a correct and wrong thing, which sounds weird because you might think, oh, that's stressful. But for me, sometimes the ambiguity of being an artist and that there are no clear-cut answers, I find that stressful sometimes. Who finds that stressful? Because I know some people, myself included, we love the freedom to do things any way we want. But at the same time, though, that also can be very frustrating, not knowing what to do or how to do it. And so I liked music because I could have definitive proof that I did something well. Like, yes, I played that correctly. And I just don't have a version of that as a visual artist. And Levi says, main artist photography. After the picture is taken, I have a hard time improving it. As I learn more, I find myself looking for the flaws to fix rather than the good points to emphasize. I don't know if you do any digital media or manipulation after the photo is taken, but that could be an opportunity to explore that. Because I think it's one thing to make the adjustments to get what you want. It's another thing if you like totally manipulate and transform it. Could be a place that is a sandbox, just something different. I think sometimes it's not that something's better for us, it's just different. And so, therefore, it feels fresh for that reason. And Brian, what's fun is being in a family, you're eating dinner in reference to your medical books, a discussion about how the liver filters things. Well, my younger kid definitely has a dark side. It's definitely for me. Okay, so Loka's following up. Direct transfer, I was told, is not using NG, the acid in contrast to indirect, would be using the acid to etch in the grooves made by scraping the varnish off. To be honest, I got this from my school technician. Gotta think about it. The acid in contrast, indirect, using the acid to etch in the grooves by scraping the varnish off. Are you talking about stop out varnish, or are you talking about the etching ground? Because that's a pretty big difference. Sorry, so many questions from your questions. It's making things sort of complicated that way. Love this. Susan says, I was a forensic artist for 20 years, made me a better artist today. I really believe that every experience we have as people enhances what we do. And I believe that firmly about every artwork we do. Because again, people will say, oh, I spent so much time, that painting was a waste of time. It's not. Because you know something, with every artwork you make, you are having an experience. And I just think there's way too much emphasis on finished products. The experience is what we take from every artwork, and that influences everything we do in the future. Edie says, I find ambiguity stressful sometimes. That's one reason why I love pool. The ball goes down or it doesn't. It's cut and dried. Yes. Sometimes it's so nice for things to be so definitive. And Edie's asking about Excel and QuickBooks. Nah, I don't use those specifically. I mean, you sort of have to use a little bit of everything because people will send you documents. So people will send me like an Excel spreadsheet, but I oftentimes convert it to a Google Sheet. So it varies. Brandon says, I'm a little nervous about checking out the Discord. Do you have to engage with others at first, or can you kind of just check out the vibe first? Oh, totally do that, Brandon. I encourage people to do that. So what a lot of people do is you can join the Discord, and we have everybody, their first post is in the introductions channel. And so that's where you can come and say, hi, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. And we always greet people. I make an effort to greet every single person that comes into the Discord. And oftentimes we can direct you to the right place because the Discord's a big place and it's oftentimes not clear where to go. And so that introduction channel is very helpful. But what I tell people, listen, if you're nervous about it, don't post, don't comment, just read the server. See what people are talking about. Look at the conversations. And if you see those conversations and you're like, oh, I don't really like this, then you don't have to hang out with us. I mean, we're really fun, I think, but there's no pressure at all. And I think most people are nervous about joining any online community. Tell me in the chat, who here has had that fear of, oh God, I don't know if I want to join these people. I'm sure lots of people have felt that way about our Discord, but I can assure you that our Discord is heavily moderated. And the reason it's like that is because we want to make sure it's a safe, inclusive space for people. And it's a lot of work. We have a fabulous team of moderators. They do such a great job getting on top of stuff right away that most of the time, those of you in the Discord, you probably don't even know all the work that they're doing to keep things safe because it is a lot. And we're lucky our server is pretty good at keeping things safe. If somebody is a jerk, we get rid of them. That's it. We just do it really fast. So it's a very safe space, I think, especially compared to a lot of other servers. But you can always add moderator in the Discord if you need help and somebody will jump in. Okay, so Loke says stop up varnish, I think. I've only been etching for the past 2 weeks. It's quite new. Yeah, no worries about that. Yeah, I'd have to know which one is which because etching ground is very different than stop out varnish. They have very different purposes. Slate says the experience matters, especially when it's a struggle. The longer it takes you to learn something, the better you learn it. Hate that it takes so long. Oh, but it does. I mean, for me, it's like meeting a person, getting to know them. Think about any friendship that you've had in your life, how long that friendship took to really come to full fruition. It does not happen quickly. And things are oftentimes just really awkward in the beginning. It's like you have this new tool and you've got this crazy big hake brush for some reason, and you're like, wow, how do I do this? I'm so used to brushes that are very small. I have to learn the muscle mechanism for using this brush. But that's where it's that simple sometimes to spend time with it. And the projects I learned the most from in art school, they were the ones that I did not do well with. And I am glad that I had those experiences because actually, when something goes really, really well, I don't want to say I don't learn from it, but it's not as impactful as when I really mess up and I'm like, oh, okay, I understand now. Like, sometimes you do it well and you don't totally understand why you did it well. It depends. Yes, our mods, so much of the work they do in that Discord, it's invisible. People don't see it, but they do a great job. Yeah, Willish says joining almost any already established group, whether online or in person, can be very intimidating. Well, I can tell you guys that we do our best to keep it accessible and safe. And I know some people don't like that we have certain things, certain guidelines. We are a family-friendly server, so if you want to post stuff that has adult content, we're just not the right server. So a lot of it is just fit and understanding what our server is, and then seeing, oh, is it a good fit for what I want to do? Edie is asking, do you use business cards or are they obsolete in the age of social media? I don't personally use them, but I know there are a bunch of people that do. For me, it's a lot easier for me to look up the person's Instagram while they're there and then take a screenshot and go back to it because I've had people give me business cards, and this sounds awful, but it's work to like look at the business card, type it in, and find it. But on Instagram, I just find it and I know it's in my phone. If it's not in my phone, it's actually pretty common I'll lose it or something like that. But there are uses for business cards. It's not to say you shouldn't use them anymore, it's just that there are more options now. Amy has that brush. Haven't used it. Can you tell? I have not used mine either. It's perfectly clean. And just so everybody knows, one thing that's different about these vertical streams is that they do show up in the YouTube Shorts feed. And so you'll see we have a couple of not so nice comments in here. That's largely because it's showing up in there. So I'm trying to stay on top of it. In case you guys see a comment like that, I'll get rid of it as soon as I can. Josh says, I definitely can stress about joining new communities online, always nervous that I annoy people, and I tend to dip and lurk more than I engage. But my time lurking in the Art Prof Discord has been fun. Oh, good. I'm so glad. But you know what? You just have to figure out what's my comfort level because nobody should be in a group and feel stressed or uncomfortable. Like, that's not a good space for you to be in. And I think for a lot of people, lurking is actually very helpful because once you engage, it's a very different interaction, of course. But it's sort of like a lot of people tell me that when they look in the critique channels or in the Patreon group, when they get critiques, they oftentimes find it just as helpful to read my critique of someone else's work. Because you would think, oh, well, the only critique that's helpful is the one that I'm getting. And that's not true. Sometimes it's easier to understand a concept in a context where it's not your work. And so that's a place where, wow, you can absorb a lot from what's happening by just lurking. So nobody here, I don't want anyone here coming into the Discord and feeling pressured or feeling like they have to engage a certain way. Just do exactly what is your comfort level and absolutely ask us for help. Our mods are super nice. They're amazing. Some of them have been with us for years and are very committed to the platform. So that's the other thing I would say is in addition to not putting pressure on yourself, ask for help because sometimes it's a really easy question. People will be like, "Where's this?" I'm like, "Oh, it's here." Like that's our job. That's why we're in that Discord is to help you. Good. Thank you, Jess. I'm glad to have that validation. And 7A says, I tended to see artists using their business cards as like a tiny canvas sample of their work. Oh, that's kind of cute. I never even thought about it that way. Although, I don't know if you guys got to see this. I'll see if it's in here. Best business card I have ever seen in my entire life. And I'm totally going to keep this business card. Look at this. I showed it on the last stream. McLane's printmaking supplier. They have a wood business card. Okay, this stuck out. I was like, I'm keeping this. I mean, I like McLane's. They're a great printmaking supplier, but like if you can do something like this I think is worth it. I mean, not everybody can make a wood business card, obviously, but this definitely had an impact because I had a whole bunch of other business cards and I don't know where they are. I'm sorry. Brian says, don't make an American psycho business card. I mean, I do like Christian Bale, but white is bland. I just got an artist business card, which is made into a piece of art while selling their websites. Yeah. A lot of it is about being eye-catching because actually, I made a thumbnail. I think it was for a video we made about how to use OBS. And I made it bright red. And I put the OBS logo in the middle. And I was looking at it with Kat. And Kat says to me, whoa, that is really, really bright, Clara, in a way that showed she didn't think it was that nice looking. And I said to her, it doesn't need to be nice, it needs to be eye-catching. And so, in that context, you're competing with all these other thumbnails on YouTube. What matters more is does it catch my eye? And so, if you have a thumbnail that's gray, like that's not going to catch your eye. So, I realized that there's a psychology to making YouTube thumbnails that has nothing to do with is this a aesthetically pleasing image or is this a good composition? Good compositions oftentimes are not eye-catching. So, it's interesting how the context is very important. And Amanda says, the Discord is so much fun. I was petrified when I first posted some work, and now I've got some good art friends looking at you. Well, I went to Providence, as you guys all know, last week, and we had a meetup, and it was so cool. Like, I met up with people who I had chatted with in the Discord. Same thing happened when I went to Toronto and New York City, and it's just blows my mind that we could have an online community like that that creates relationships beyond the server. And I know Trent, who's a moderator in the Discord, he was able to come to the Providence meetup. And so I think sometimes it just seems like things will never ever go anywhere beyond the Discord, but you'd be surprised. Plus, I'm traveling more. I'm going to be in LA in early May to see Mr. Tibbett in concert. And yes, I'm freaking. I have such good tickets. I'm in like the third row. I'm so excited. I've never been to one of his concerts before. But anyway, it's a small world. I cannot believe the number of people I've been able to engage with just all over. And it really surprised me that Discord could foster such strong connections. I always just initially thought, oh, it's online. It's never going to be as good as in person. But there are people in there who I talk to more than my friends, my family sometimes, because we're just always in there, 24/7 art party. Mahima says, what's your opinion on doing an MFA at the age of 33? Started my BFA at 28. I want to do a PhD. What's your opinion on that as well at this age? Okay, it's fine. Lots of people don't do their MFA when they're 22. When I went to graduate school, my two best friends there were 40. And it depends on what you want your MFA for. For example, if you're trying to go into academia versus trying to be a gallery artist, and I will confirm, unfortunately, there is ageism out there, but 33 is, it's not like you're going in as a 70-year-old. I'm sorry, 70-year-olds, but that is an age that I think is atypical for an MFA program. Usually it's like people probably like 45 and under is more what I've seen in MFA programs, but I'm talking very generally. I'm not saying that is the case everywhere. I'm just saying that I haven't really seen people who are in their 70s doing their MFAs. But hey, if you're 70, you want to go do your MFA, awesome. I don't think age has anything to do with what kind of artist you are. And Yeah, the invite link to the Discord, it's in the YouTube video description below. And that will take you to a link on our website where we have all the information. How does it work? How do you sign up? What are the various options? You can join for free, but we also have other options. Like, for example, I had mentioned earlier, we do have the Patreon group, which is a small group of artists. And that's really nice if you want to get hands-on feedback from staff. I'm not present in the public critique channels because, wow, there's a lot of stuff in there. And I gotta feed my kids at some point. Robin is asking, have you any experience with casein paint? I'm new to this medium and have trouble with it going chalky and dark at the same time. I've never used casein paint, but you know who does and who is a brilliant painter is James Gurney. So look up James Gurney. I'm going to type this here. I think he's one of the best painters today. Absolutely phenomenal artist, does a lot of gouache paintings. He's got a great YouTube channel, wonderful videos. So go check him out. He's fantastic. And Willish says, I sometimes use other apps to enhance the look of the colors in my artworks. This really helps it pop more. However, at the same time, I feel like I'm cheating. Please help. It depends on what the work is and where it's going to live. For example, illustrators do that all the time. Mia told me that she will oftentimes do a painting and then touch it up digitally. It just makes more sense. At least in illustration, sometimes it's a time thing. Like it's so much faster to just do it digitally. And with illustration, the final product is the published illustration. It's not the physical painting. And that's a very different thing. Now, the thing is, if you have a physical painting and you're a gallery artist and you show somebody your portfolio and you've changed all the colors, and then you bring in the paintings into the physical gallery space and none of the colors match, that is bad. So it's all about where are you representing the artwork for what purpose? But in illustration, they don't care. Like they are not going to ask to see the finished painting, like in person, physically hanging on a wall. It's all digital now. So it depends on the context. Go for whatever you want to do artistically, everybody. I mean, people like Matisse was making cutouts when he was in bed at the end of his life. And we also have Susan saying, go for it. Age is just a number. I'm 65. It's my best artistic phase. Yep. Age doesn't have anything to do. It's not like you're a professional ball player and all of a sudden your knees are no good. You know, you're not going to have that as an artist. And a lot of artists I know who have had something come up in their lives that changed their practice have made it work. I mean, some of you guys may have seen that Lauren had hand surgery. And so she really couldn't paint for, I don't know, at least 2 months or something like that. And so she actually picked up Procreate, started doing all these digital studies. And so that was her way of pivoting towards something else when something came up in her life that she couldn't do what she typically did before. Oscar says, I want to sell art on eBay, even though I never studied or practiced. Am I delusional for that? No, you do not need an art degree to sell artwork. And I don't think it's delusional if you are being intentional about it. I mean, if you throw your stuff on eBay and you put no effort into writing a good description and taking good photographs, you know, if you try and you do all those things, get great photographs, write good descriptions, know how to use social media. And if you don't learn, that's the biggest difference is that sometimes people will say, well, this is the thing I want to do. And so I'll say, okay, well, you need to learn to do this. And they don't want to do it. I'm like, okay, well, I can't help you. I just told you exactly how to do it, but they don't want to. And that's okay. I mean, it's not the best fit for everybody, but I don't think it's delusional at all. People will buy all kinds of things. There's so much artwork out there that I don't really think it's that great that sells for millions of dollars. I'm not saying that's going to happen to everybody, but I do think there is a time and a place for all different kinds of artwork. I mean, hopefully it's not involved with hate speech or anything like that, but I don't think that's delusional at all. Kirillin says, do you believe there's a right or wrong way towards creating art? Also, does music count as an art form? I mean, it depends on how you're defining art. I do think music's an art form. I think there are a lot of things that are art forms that are typically not classified as art forms. And I'm not going to start a big fight, but there is this whole battle between crafts and art. And gosh, we could do a 10-hour stream debating that. But it is sometimes frustrating to me that there are certain things that to me are absolutely art forms, but for one reason or another, are perhaps not considered to be that. And I don't like it when people use craft as a pejorative because there's incredible people doing craft out there. So the other question, right or wrong? Nope. The only wrong way to make art is to plagiarize. If you do that, I will not be your fan. That is just morally wrong. But the other stuff, as long as you're not hurting anybody or promoting hate speech or something like that, there's no right or wrong way. And anybody who tells you that there is, wow, I don't think so. So I'm going to tell you there's no right or wrong way. And Mahima's asking, is it necessary to be a master of one, or one can be a multidisciplinary artist in an MFA? Oh yeah, there's a lot of MFA programs that are interdisciplinary. You have to look up the programs because they all have different definitions for exactly what that is. But definitely, there's a lot of artists who work in so many media. Actually, Joan Jonas, who has a show right now, I think it's at MoMA. I think it's at one of the major New York City museums. I mean, she was doing installation and video art before anybody knew what that was, and is an incredibly prolific artist. And you see people all the time who do things totally outside of their usual practice, like William Kentridge. He's a printmaker and he does beautiful charcoal animated films. He actually started designing set designs for an opera. And I was like, wow, that's amazing that you could go from the animation. I mean, sort of makes sense if you think about it. They're both time-based media in a way. And I think it's brilliant. And Manette says, found out recently that Pittsburgh has a craft art museum to challenge the idea that crafts aren't art. Hoping to go soon, it looks like they have incredible exhibits and events. I mean, that whole argument and just putting certain artworks or media in such specific categories, I understand why people do it because it just is easier to present and organize things. But the thing is, there are so many artworks that just defy categorization. Like, I look at pieces, I'm like, well, it's not really an installation. It's not really architecture. What is this? And that's where it gets frustrating. But then again, it's like you have to categorize things to have some degree of order in terms of how things are done. Jin just says, thank you so much for Art Prof. It makes a world of a difference for peeps. I promise. I know it's a lot of work, but seriously, you're such a resource. Guys, I will never get tired of you telling me that because, as much as we're here and I'm going to keep doing this because I'm crazy, by the way, I already decided I'm not going to retire. Never. There was a professor at RISD, Merlin Saws. He used to say, I'm going to teach until I drop dead, which I just thought was brilliant. And actually, you know, it's crazy. He did pass away in the middle of the semester. And I was like, wow, that is major dedication. Yes, it's a lot of work and it drives me crazy. But when I hear your stories and about what you've been able to do because of the work that we're doing, oh, it makes me so proud, you guys. It's just the most incredible thing in the world. We are doing registration for our May and June workshops. And we also have spots open in our drawing hands and feet, which is coming up, and same thing with imaginary landscapes. So everybody knows we do not have a Discord chat after Friday night live streams because I gotta go watch Erin Tveit movie, you know, it's like I gotta check that off for the week. Everybody, make sure you know that there is a free session for every Discord member to get an Open Studios Club session. That is a two-hour voice session. You get to hang out with me, chat with other artists. It's super fun, really chill. We talk about everything. So if you want to claim your session, tag me in general chat in the Discord. Join our Patreon group. This is where you get to have weekly voice sessions with staff and you get to create relationships in a small group of artists. You can sponsor a video. If there's a video you want me to create, let me know, because you know something, with all those lithography supply videos, people are now telling me that they want a litho demonstration, which I obviously can't do. I don't have a litho studio back here, but I do have friends who have litho studios. So if that is something you want to see me do, you can make that happen. Art Prof is a podcast. It's available on Spotify and also on iTunes. Check out artprof.org. There is so much content on there that is not on YouTube. Use the search bar to find what you're looking for and subscribe to our channel for more tutorials, critiques, and business tips. Everybody, thank you so much for watching. I'll see you next time. Bye.